today. And the next 3 weeks, there's a special aim for students. So welcome the students that are here. They're going also through a rough time with Corona, maybe even rougher than a lot of people in business life or than people think. And there's going to be 3 topics. And today I'm going to talk about how to deal with stress. And also, of course, the relationship with meditation, because the meditation is the rode lijn in all, the thread that goes through all these lessons. For the people that don't know me, my name is Roel. I'm in daily life a physiotherapist. In the evenings, I turn into a meditation trainer every now and then. I do this for around 8 years. I give courses, workshops, retreats. I wrote a book, Meditatie, je dagelijkse mini-vakantie. So I kind of dove into the topic. And I think that's all that is important to talk about, to tell you about me. So we're going to go into the topic today. Stress. Stress is a big issue. Stress is professional disease number one nowadays, since 2012 already. And since 2014, you see that the mental problems are a bigger part for disability to work or sick leave than physical problems. So that meant up till 2014, people didn't go to work or unable to work for neck problems, back problems, the thing that you go to, like me as a physiotherapist, for. And nowadays it's mental problems. So stress, burnout, those kind of things. And what you see is that nowadays, the data from 2018 at least, that 1 out of 6 to 7 people, at least in the 25 to 35 years old area, has burnout related problems. So there's a difference between burnout, that you're really at home, and this is the end level of stress, and burnout related problems. So to give you an idea, stress is when the fight or flight mechanism kicks in. Everybody knows stress, but if you ask people how to define stress, what is stress, they often don't know exactly how to put it. And actually it's pretty easy, it's basic, because we go in this survival mode. So we have something on our path that is bigger than we think that we can cope with, and stress kicks in. So this is the natural mechanism of your body which tries to help you to survive. The fight or flight mechanism is also called. And what happens with this mechanism, that your body is turned on and you're ready to fight or flight. And this is good. It's perfect that we have this mechanism, right? When we run into a tiger, like maybe in the old days if we lived in the jungles, it's very nice that we have this stress mechanism, right? We have this ability to perform more physically. But nowadays there's no tigers anymore. And the biggest thing that changed, that we also don't have acute stress anymore. Normally we have stress for a short amount of time, right? We are faced with a tiger, and then we have to fight or flight, and that lasts for maximum 3 minutes, then it's gone. And this is one of the important reasons why almost every combat sport, like boxing or karate or taekwondo, all the rounds are maximum 3 to 5 minutes. That's it. So it's short. That is what stress is all about. But we now don't have saber-tooth tigers or lions or whatever are facing us. We don't have to fight anymore. Traffic in Amsterdam maybe is the most stressful event that we, of life-threatening event at least, that we get. We have chronic stress. It's about relationships. It's about money. It's about all those kind of things. So that means that we are being held in this stress mode. So our system is ready to fight or flight, but it's not made to have that for a longer amount of time. And this is where we get in trouble. So we can, stress is for sprinting, not for marathons. And what happens if you have too long time of period of time of stress, it gets chronic. And that's what we call overspannen, or being overstimulated, I guess, over-triggered in English. And if you get symptoms like fatigue and those kind of things, in the end, you also see that that is called burnout. And real burnout is when you are not able to do anything anymore. You're depressed and in your bed and not able to do things. But you also have a lot of burnout-ish complaints. And if you look in people that are in a profession, around 17% of the people have that nowadays. Burnout-ish complaints. That is all coming from stress. And this is mainly in the category 25 to 35 years old. And this is pretty interesting, because you would think that those are the most fit people. And back in 2012, the biggest group that had stress problems were the people between 40 and 60 years old. And this makes more sense, right? These are the people in the top of business life, with the most responsibilities, the CEOs and those kind of people. But now it went down to 25 to 35 years old. And that mainly has to do with the extra things that we're coping with nowadays. So there's more expectations, pressure by social media itself. If you look at young people up to, I think the research was done between 18 and 22, they're between 3 to 5 hours a day on social media. So 3 to 5 hours a day. In my time when I was studying, and maybe I'm that old, there was no social media. So that's time that you have to perform as well. So there's a lot of extra triggers nowadays. And the biggest group actually that has stress is not the working population between 25 and 35, it's actually students. And a lot of people over 40, like myself, don't really realize that. Why are students having stress? Right? They're in the time of their life, they have all the freedom, their student life is about partying, those kind of things. But actually, that's not the case anymore. Right? There's a lot more pressure on students nowadays. And if you look at the data, where 17% has burnout-ish problems in the working population, that's the group where it's exposing itself most, in students it's 25%. So that's a lot more. And this is also why I open these trainings for students now, these 3 weeks, to support them a little bit and help them a little bit. So that's the problem. Like, and what can we do with stress now? So what's the solution? The opposite of stress, that's what we're looking for. But stress is an overdrive. It's a heightening of the activity of your system. You're up and running, you're fighting or fight or flight modes. And the opposite is relaxation. So anything that relaxes you can help you to get rid of stress. And this is important because not only we want to bring this stress mode down, but we're going to get out of this fight or flight, which is taking so much energy, so much of our fuel. This is what burnout is, right? If you have your tank of fuel, and if you keep running for a long time on a high mode, on a high pace, your fuel is going to run out. It's like driving 100 kilometers per hour in your second gear. Everybody that drives a car knows how that is, right? There's a lot of things going on, but you also run out of fuel easily. So, and we want to have some time to recover and to recharge. And this is where relaxation is very important. There's one problem. We don't really know anymore what relaxation is. If I ask people, and especially also I do this as a physiotherapist, there's a lot of people that also have stress-related problems, which are influencing neck and shoulder problems or their back problems. And I ask them, what do you do to relax? Mostly they give me things with screens. And I'm not talking about following a meditation lesson at home. This is good. But I'm talking about things like social media or Netflix, those kind of things. And people think this relaxes them. And there's a problem because it doesn't. The example I normally use is if you walk outside, it's dark nowadays again, and you walk outside and you're at the first story, at the first floor somewhere, you see that there's a television on, or the second or third floor. And you don't see even the screen. But look what happens in that room, all the flashes of light which go into the room. This is entering your mind. This is not relaxation. This is a lot of stimulation. So this is called distraction. And why does it seem relaxing? It distracts you from the thing that makes you stressed. But it's not relaxation because your mind doesn't get rest. So what does give us relaxation? And then of course, meditation is the number one answer. But yoga, walking in forest, those kind of things, like surrounding yourself by nature, that's what gives you relaxation. A lot of people think about sleep, by the way, as well. But the problem with sleep is that your mind is off the leash, so it can go everywhere. Who recognizes it that you are in bed for 8 or even maybe 9 hours and you actually slept, but you wake up and you're dead tired, right? And you ran like 3 Netflix series with yourself as the main character, right? You solved all the world's problems. You were a superhero to whatever, right? It can be exhausting. So sleep can definitely relax, but it's no guarantee. What happens with meditation is that it calms your mind because you're starting to observe what is going on in your mind. And if you have some distance and start observing, it doesn't take you along, and you're not, the mind is not off the leash anymore. And this is why it's so relaxing. It can be very full in the head. It can be go from jump everywhere, and there can be a lot of thoughts and feelings in the mind. But when you keep a little bit of distance to it, you will see that you don't have to be occupied by them. You don't have to go along with all these thoughts and emotions and the things that go through your head. And that in the end definitely relaxes. So research also shows that meditation has a bigger relaxing effect than the stress management course, a bigger relaxing effect than sitting with your eyes closed, because sitting with your eyes closed is not meditation. And it is research with sham meditation, what they call it. So they told one group of people, said, okay, sit down, close your eyes and start meditating. People that never meditated before. And another group that also never meditated before, they said, okay, sit down, close your eyes and actually do the meditation practice, which they gave them explanations. Like, so if this thought comes, just observe it, let it be for what it is and try to stay focused. And there were completely different results in relaxation, but also in brain activity. Pretty interesting. They compared it to sleep and also to relaxation exercises and meditation, and all these different researchers came on top as more effective to relax. So they're pretty strong relaxant. The second thing that meditation does, and this is what almost all relaxing methods don't do, is it trains your brain. It trains your mind. Actually, that's better said. So you gain control over your head, and not about what pops into your head, because you cannot control your thoughts, you cannot control your emotions, you cannot control your feelings, you cannot control the sounds that come, but you can control your reaction to it. And this is where it often goes wrong, right? We get a thought or a feeling or a sound and we react to it mentally. If you start thinking about it, analyzing it, we're gonna work with it, those kind of things. We want to do stuff with it, and this is where we lose our peace of mind. And meditation actually trains the ability to stay focused and not be taken along with our thoughts. And this is a big benefit, because this actually trains your stress resistance, how able you are to handle stress. Because it's very possible to reduce stress by just breaking the cycle of this fight or flight mode. But it's even more interesting if we can train this being more stress resistant, so that we don't get into this fight or flight mode in the first place. And this is what most other relaxation techniques don't do. And actually you start over every time again. So as soon as you get stressed again, you need a new dose of this relaxant. And with meditation, you kind of train yourself to be more stress resistant. And also this comes from a lot of scientific research. And if you want to look into some of the research, a lot of articles are on my website, meditatie.amsterdam. In the menu, there's research, and you can find a lot of these researches done, and especially also on the students that helps to reduce stress and also to don't get into stress situations. That's a little bit about stress and meditation in the theoretical part. Are there any questions? So if you have a question at home, maybe it's good to put it in the chat. The first part, if there's any question, I'd love to hear it, also from the group. Then we're going to do a guided meditation where I can lead you to meditation. So you actually have the practical part, of course, as well. And afterwards, there's also time for questions. Are there any questions here in the room related to stress and meditation, preferably? Sorry?
Everything's clear.
Everything's clear? There's Tim, that's there. I have a question about stress resistance. If you train yourself to eliminate it, does that also remove the benefits of stress? No, it gives you a choice. Very good question. I think stress is very useful. Again, if we get into this emergency situation, stress is very useful. And I think if we really get into an emergency situation, we don't really mute ourselves, right? We don't think about, like, okay, it doesn't make you dull or soft or not reactive anymore. There's a reason why meditation is used in professional sports and in elite units of the military. For instance, people like Djokovic and the top basketball teams and American football teams. If it really makes you dull and gets you out of this extra drive which you can get from stress, they wouldn't use it. So it gives you a choice. It gives you opportunity to, do I go and stay in this stress mode, or do I choose to not go along with my thoughts, my cycle of thoughts, and I feel my heartbeat raising, my blood pressure raising, my muscle tension raising. Do I go along with this? Do I make it chronic or not? And I think if it's acute stress, you will still react. This is biology. But we don't have acute stress almost anymore. Again, maybe Amsterdam traffic, but that's it. And in nature, chronic stress almost doesn't exist. Fight or flight is a few minutes. You encounter an enemy and you fight or flight, but that doesn't last half an hour or a day or 2 days or a month or a year, what we have with financial problems. So it gives you a choice, an opportunity to choose, and especially with this chronic stress, that you can break the cycle. So a very good question, yeah. So, and the benefits of stress are not mental. The benefits of stress are physical. And we hardly ever need the physical benefits of stress anymore. Right, again, if we want to need to fight or flight, which is very rare nowadays. Mentally, it doesn't give you any benefits. It actually brings you back to your oldest part of the brain because it's survival mode. So your logical thinking, your analyzing, all the things you need to do, for instance, your studying or your work, it is muted. So there's no stress benefits on the mental department. Actually, it brings you back to primitive behavior. People that are stressed are not known for their most, let's say, I don't know if I can call it intelligent, but at least optimal or efficient behavior, right? If someone is stressed, that's not the situation where you have where you pat yourself on the shoulder afterwards, like, that was me. No, normally not. It's often the situation where you have to maybe apologize afterwards. So that's, thank you for the question. It's a very good question. Yeah.
It's specifically because I completely agree with what you're saying, of course, but specifically when I have stress in work or study situations, you actually get motivated to work longer or harder, that kind of stuff. If you don't have any stress, you get lazy. That's just why I was generally curious.
You get motivated by stress, or does it make you restless?
I don't know. It's just that if you're stressed, when I'm not stressed, I'll be less motivated. That's just that.
I had the same in my studies.
I don't know if that's good. That's a very good question. I don't think it makes you lazy. Stress makes you less clear in the mind. If you're stressed, your ability to study goes down, right? You're less clear in getting in information. So your logical thinking goes down. So it's actually, I think, harder to study. There could be some time pressure. And I think that's maybe, and correct me if I'm wrong, what you're referring to. So if this is typical student behavior, which doesn't change over centuries, I guess. When I was studying, and that's 20 years ago, 25 almost, and if I say this, I kind of, these are these moments that you don't want to think about too much about your own age, but...
Does it make you stressed?
It's the time pressure we need, right? Nobody starts studying in the first week of the new semester, right? So we all wait till the last 2 weeks. And this time pressure, yes, but is it stress which makes you more motivated? And does it make you more efficient? Do you need it? Is it a benefit of stress?
Adrenaline, I think. It's the same way you have to go on the stage. I also needed a little bit like anxiety to perform well on stage. And
what is on stage?
Acting, performing.
Performing. Yeah, for physical, yes. So when you for instance do a sprint, right? You're at the Olympics and you're at the final for the 100 meter sprint. This is the moment where you need stress. Your body has to be up. You don't want to be
adrenaline, I think.
Yeah, that's adrenaline, which brings this body up in its energy, right? You don't want to be too calm down and lazy and relaxed. But your mind, on the other hand, works best when it's relaxed. You study, you get the best results of studying when you relaxed. So when do you get the best ideas?
When I was studying, I had to study.
Did you get the best ideas when you are fully engaged in mental activity? What happens, this is the example I often use, what happens if we are talking and we're talking about our mutual friend, which we haven't seen for some time? And I say, what's her name? And you also say, I know what you're talking about. It's at the tip of my tongue, but I cannot get to her name. When does the name get into your head? Does more thinking help? Mostly not. When does it pop in your head? an hour or two later, when you're completely out of this conversation and you're at the toilet, under the shower, in traffic, wherever, you said, ah, yes, of course, her. And you get the name. And the critical part there is that your mind is relaxed. So the more relaxed your mind is, the more clear it is. It's less occupied. If you are stressed, you are facing threat. This is not the moment that you're gonna be very focused on things that don't threaten you, because I mean, this is the same reason why we don't fall asleep easily, or we have less sleep when we're stressed or burn out. Because we are feeling we are threatened. It's like walking through the jungle and there's somewhere still that tiger behind us. This is not the moment to take a nap. Our system is awake and aware for threat and not for things that are not threatening us, like our book of studying. So I think time pressure, yes, but I don't know if stress is a benefit in studying and in study results. Does this answer your question, Tim?
Yeah, definitely. Specifically, I think the relation between the sort of chronic part of having stress being completely useless and even crippling, but in a short period, like a very short period of sort of sprinting or maybe even an hour of performing on stage can have benefits, but the clarity of mind to afterwards be relaxed by using meditation and not being chronically in that mode. I completely agree that it has great health benefits.
But also with acute stress, also your mind goes kind of blankish. So true what you're saying, but the situation for chronic and acute is...
You need to manage it.
Yeah. So if you calm yourself down, you're able to do more. So it can get you on your feet, right? So kick yourself in the butt, like, I have to do something, right? But probably won't benefit you in studying. So in acute stress, yes, if you have a physical performance before a sports activity or something. But for mental performances, stress never really works. But again, very good question. Thank you. Yeah. If there's no more questions, then we're going to go to the meditation part. So the second part is, even if there's people that are new to meditation, what I'm going to do is I'm going to guide you through a meditation, a guided meditation, and you just follow what I'm saying. It's completely normal that you will drift off. Don't beat yourself up about it. It's all about coming back to the moment again and going back into the story. And for the posture, you always see people sitting in this perfect posture with meditation. Just find a posture where you're comfortable in. Try to be a little bit upright. So your spine is a little bit upright, so you can be awake and aware. When you're like slouched like this, often it's easy to go into the sleeping and snoring meditation, which is not really the case. Meditation is awake and aware and not like dozed off. So this often helps, this position. And for the rest, you can sit down. I often don't recommend lying down, because it's also the moment that your body says, oh, I know what we're going to do. We do this once a day. Let's also go to sleep. So, all right. So sit up straight and without forcing yourself. And then close your eyes. And take a moment to be aware that you are sitting where you are sitting. So actually you observe yourself sitting, you see yourself sitting. So be aware of your surroundings. Even with your eyes closed, you can recognize or experience your surroundings, for instance, by the sounds that you can hear. You can experience the temperature inside of the room where you are. You can feel the floor beneath you, maybe directly with your feet, but so indirectly floor is supporting your sitting area. Be aware of the weight of your body at this moment. How you can feel it most or best at that spot where your body touches the surface below. Meditation is turning your attention inwards. You're very focused on the outside world, what happens around us. We often forget our internal processes and how our body feels and what our body tells us. So bring your attention inwards, and first to your body, and take a moment to tune into your body and see how you're feeling physically. Does your body feel calm, relaxed? Or maybe you feel that your body is more or less active, wants to move, is maybe a little bit restless. Does your body feel healthy and up, strong, awake? Maybe does your body feel more fatigued, tired? And just observe, you don't have to change anything, just see what your body is telling you. Are there certain areas of your body that draw your attention? So for instance, more stiffness, pain, maybe an itch. Anything in your body that your attention is drawn to? And also try to be aware of where in your body you are present. What I mean with that, do you feel that your attention or presence is more, for instance, in the upper part of your body or the lower part of your body? Are you fully, more or less, inhabiting your body? Your full body. And often people will notice that their presence is more in the upper half and mainly in the head. It can be different for you, just notice. Now you bring your attention to your mental situation, how you feel mentally at this moment. Is it calm? Or maybe a little bit restless. Is there openness and space? Or are you mentally busy? Is there a lot of things going on in your head? Thoughts, feelings, emotions? Do you feel awake and aware mentally, or maybe a little bit tired, fatigued? Again, you don't have to change anything, just be aware, just notice. Body and mind are closely connected. We in the West, we separate them, but they're inseparable. They can be just distinguished. There's a fair chance that if you felt tired or restless physically, it's the same mentally and the other way around. What we do with meditation is that we bring our mind to where our body is. And if you notice your body, pay attention to your body, you will see that it's always present in the here and now. It's right here, right now. Always. And the mind has a tendency to drift off to past, to future, to associations, what's going on. But your body's always here. It's never somewhere else. So bring your mind to where the body is and just let it be here. And just like your body, see how it is to do nothing. Your body has no goal at this moment, nothing to achieve. It's just here, present. And see if you can do the same thing with your mental being. See if you can rest your mind and just let it be here, now. Nothing to do, nothing to achieve. Just be present. And notice how this is for you. Can be very calming to have a break, clarity, space. Can also be restless, not knowing what to do. How do you do not doing anything? Can even be uncomfortable. Whatever it is, just notice, just be aware of what it does to be mentally open and aware, present. Present with what is. And are you still present at this moment, or maybe you got lost in thoughts or distracted, which is very normal. This is what the mind does. Meditation is all about coming back and being awake and aware in what is this moment. We bring the attention back to our bodies. You can notice that your body is working subtly in the background. Your body is not moving too much at this moment. Muscles are in relaxation. Your heart is beating. And blood with oxygen and nutrition is transported through your whole body. And also your nervous system is awake and aware. This is why you can sense the temperature in the room. Also the soft pressure of your clothing on your skin. And also your body's breathing. And notice how your body is doing the breathing for you. And often this is a moment where the tendency of our mind to start doing things kicks in. It can sometimes even become hard to know how to breathe. See if you can let the body do the breathing and observe how it does that instead of wanting to take over. And if you have a hard time doing that, observe that. See if you can let the body do the breathing for you. And if you have a difficulty in doing that, which is completely normal, then hold your breath for like a few seconds or moments. And feel that your body starts to breathe normally again, wants to start breathing normally again. And be very aware of your body breathing. And see what happens in that process. Is the inhale just as long as the exhale, or is there a difference in length? Do you notice that there's a small pause between the exhale and the inhale? Just a little moment where there's no movement, no activity at all. There's just calmness and openness. And where do you feel the breathing motion best in your body? Is it your chest or maybe your belly? And up to where in your body can you experience your breathing? Is it just your chest? Can you also feel it in your belly? Maybe even your pelvis? Feel up to where you're able to notice it. You don't have to change or force anything, just observe. Let your body do the breathing. Your body knows how to do this, it does it all the time, all day long. See if you can go to being the observer instead of the doer. And also notice how hard this might be. Where our body is working in the background, doing useful things to keep your body alive. You might also have some tension in your body which is not necessary, and you might not be even aware of. Bring your attention to your hands and your fingers for a moment. And feel if they are fully relaxed or not. Often there's tension in our fingers and our hands left. Especially nowadays, working behind computers all day. If that's the case, just let it slide off. Another location where we often have still some physical tension left is our face. Especially around our eyes, our eyebrows. Feel if they're completely relaxed or not. If you notice some unnecessary tension, you can just let it slide off. Even with your eyes closed, you can soften your gaze. Just relax. And then also notice your jaws and your tongue. Often we kind of clench the jaws together unnecessarily. Relax your lower jaw. Feel what the actual weight of a lower jaw is. And bring your attention back to your whole body. You have the weight of your body, where it contacts the surface below. So be aware of the room where you are at this moment. Without opening your eyes, you can notice your surroundings by the sounds that come to you. The temperature which you can sense inside of this room. And the floor beneath you, which supports you. Finally, before we end this meditation, see how you're doing mentally at this moment. Is it different than when you started this meditation? Often people feel less tired, more mental space, more clarity, more relaxation. But just see what it is for you, maybe one of the above, but it can also be something completely different. And notice what this meditation did for you. How it maybe altered your state of mind. Whenever you're ready and take your time, do it in your own pace, you can open your eyes again and reconnect with the world around you visually. Again, take your time, your own pace. Welcome back, everybody. This was a 25-minute meditation, so well done. I think the most important thing about meditation for people that are new to meditation is that what you experience during your meditation doesn't tell you if it was a good or a bad meditation. You were kind of restless, I think. I think your leg was...
My leg was asleep or some cramps, so I had to move it around a little bit, yeah.
So the focus of your meditation became very local.
Yes, it fell asleep.
Yes, that can happen. This is also normal. I remember that one of the first times I did a longer meditation, my leg fell asleep. And I'm a physio. Mm. And I know what happens there. So I exactly felt which nerve was being compressed, which parts of my skin were not feeling normal again, which muscles were not getting their normal, like nutrition, I guess, but like their awareness. And I know what happens if this compression is there for months, like your leg starts to die, right? Mm. And all the things that can happen when you get into wheelchairs and those kind of things. And actually, when I woke up of my thinking process, the complete sleepiness in my leg was gone. It was back to normal. But I was still on a train of thoughts. And this was very useful for me as how I learned about, okay, this is how my mind works. And I was even thinking about stuff that was not present anymore. But I was so distracted by it that this is what my present state became. And this is what happens with meditation. This is what happens with our thoughts and how our mind works. And with meditation, you learn to be aware with what is.
Yeah.
And to bring it back to there. And then you don't lose yourself in this stream of thoughts and distractions and this monkey mind of going everywhere.
Yeah.
And you bring it to where it is. So this is also, there's a lot of forms of meditation, and the form of meditation which I use is mindfulness, more mindfulness meditation. First of all, it's easy and it's kind of down to earth as well. And the only thing I ask you to do is to pay attention on what is here right now. I don't ask you to think about your worries, about your bills, about your exams, about your work or anything you have to do, all the challenges in your life. I just bring you back to what is here right now. That means that 98% of the turmoil which makes you restless or more is gone. And this is why meditation is relaxing.
Yeah.
And your mind is helping you to remind you of all the turmoil which is going on in your life, because things pop up.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
And it would be nice if we have this pop-up blocker which we have on our computers, right? We can switch them off, disable these pop-ups. We cannot do this with the mind. And this is okay. And thoughts will come always. It's impossible to stop thinking. Right? A lot of people think that they are not doing a meditation well because they still have thoughts.
Mm.
They expect it to be this nice, clear, blue sky where there's nothing going on. This is not what meditation is. Meditation is being aware of the clouds or the things in this blue sky, right? Or your thoughts. But just not to go along with. And this gives a lot of mental peace and calm. So meditation is not searching for relaxation. So I sit down, I close my eyes, and I'm relaxed. Which is impossible. It's the same as trying to force yourself to go to sleep. Everybody knows this, right? We're lying in bed, we have a hard time falling asleep. And then we start reminding ourselves that we have to get up very early tomorrow, and we really have to go to sleep now. And then we think about all the meetings and things where we are, and we will be sleep deprived and not optimally. So we need to sleep. This doesn't work. It's not possible to force yourself to relax. But you can create the circumstances to relax. And this is also what you're training. And this is what you're training with meditation. You create the circumstances. The same thing what you do when you go to sleep. You create the perfect circumstances for going to sleep. You turn off the light, you turn off the sounds, you put a blanket over you so there's no external mechanical things getting to you, so you're kind of protected.
Mm.
You're warm, you're creating circumstances for falling asleep. And that's the same what you do with meditation. You're creating awareness so you're ready for distractions, or you're trying to be aware to get back from distractions.
Mm.
Are there any questions? And if you have any questions when you're online, please write them in a chat so I can see them and I will try to answer them. First, I'm starting with the people in the room here. Anything? Does everybody feel different after the meditation? Yes?
Yes.
Bad or different?
Yeah.
Okay, just to be sure. I can be
much better than during the meditation.
Much better than during the meditation. So this is completely normal, that during the meditation it can be complete circus, Disneyland, turmoil, hurricane.
Yeah.
And this is normal. But in the end you will feel that almost always that after the meditation your mental state calmed down. You don't know why, because there's no reason to believe that because of this meditation busyness itself. And sometimes it's calm and nice, right? But often it's not. And you're not doing a bad meditation when it's busy. Actually, maybe that's the best meditation there is. So I don't think that the best meditation there is the meditation where you sat, you were calm and quiet, and everything was peace and zen and all those kind of things. Because this is not when you're training. It's nice, right? It's perfect. But you're training to be awake and aware. And how are you going to do that if all circumstances are perfect?
Mm.
Right? No one goes to meditation to be able to sit down with their eyes closed for an extended amount of time and not do anything. This is not the goal. Mm. The goal is to have more relaxation in daily life. And if you can only meditate when it's perfectly quiet and there's no distractions, how do you want to be able to do that in daily life when there's all these distractions? So the more thoughts and turmoil there are in your mind, the more training material you have. It's the weight that you have in the gym, right? It's the thing where you train with. So actually the fighting meditation, how I often call it, where you have to bring yourself back and you're distracted again, maybe that's the most effective meditation. And I compare it often to a tennis match. If you have an opponent and you have the first set is 6-0, second one is also 6-0, and the third set is also 6-0, or you have this opponent where you really have to fight and maybe lose the last point after in the fifth set, which game did you learn more? Right? Of course, it's nice to win, but where's the game?
Yes.
So this is where you train yourself. Okay. Question...
That's funny because I think that relates a lot to my question.
Ah, cool. Nice. Coincidence or not. Do you have any tips on meditating while there's when there's noise in the room? Yes. Preferably you do it in a quiet circumstances. Why? Because you're training yourself. If I am a football player and I want to train myself in passing the ball to my in an effective way, I do this with my friend standing over there. He's standing still, the ball is still, and I'm having all the time to concentrate on passing the ball, right? So this is my training setting. If I do this in a game where there's an opponent, where my teammate is moving, the ball is moving, I'm moving, that's a lot harder. So what you try to do is you try to set up the circumstances that you can train. So this meditation pillow is your training ground. So if you cannot do it on a meditation pillow, then it's impossible to do it in daily life. But if you cannot do it in a training situation with sports, it's impossible to do it in the game situation. So it's good to have this training situation as optimal as possible at the start. But that's not always possible. And if you can only do it in this training situation, like I mentioned before, it's not really useful. So what you do is you work with whatever is coming. And normally you don't need the sounds because your thoughts will keep you distracted and give you enough training material already, right? So, but if there's sounds, that's just extra training material. So if it's there, it's not an excuse to not meditate, but it's a way of extra weights to lift. So preferably without too much noise, or when you're very trained in meditation already, you can of course use that. Or maybe use like more louder or circumstances which are more challenging. But if they're there, they're there. And again, see what your reaction is on it. So how you, what they do with you and how they take you away and take your peace of mind away. And just observe that.
Mm.
Yeah. Good question. Thank you. Does this answer your question?
It does.
Yes.
Thank
okay.
you.
Good. Again, another question. My sitting position can be a bit uncomfortable. How do I improve it? Yes, I'm a white Dutch person, and we are often not made for the meditation posture. That's an understatement, right? So in this meditation posture, it's nice to be flexible. We often are not trained to sit still when doing nothing. Our mental restlessness, which automatically comes when we're not trained to do nothing, and which is meditation is, what meditation is, to just be awake and aware, will alter itself in the physical department as well. So our mind gets bored and wants to do stuff. It gets busy, it starts to think, it starts to react, it starts to feel and be conscious of a lot of things. And this translates to our body. So our body also gets into restlessness. Even when you're lying down and you're sitting in a comfortable position. So this is one of the components. And the second component is find a posture which is more or less comfortable for you and more or less active, and which you can last for like for 20 or 25 minutes or how long you want to meditate. And if this Just find this posture, and again, preferably not lying down, that's the easiest. But often this restlessness in your posture has nothing actually to do with your body itself. If it's the same posture that you work in, for instance, or that you watch television or Netflix in, you will notice that your posture is not giving you any trouble. So it's easy to stay 25 minutes in the same position when you have a nice Netflix show going on, right? But it starts to happen when you start meditating. Mm. And often this is also a translation of your mental restlessness. Does this answer your question, Tim? Again, Tim, good question. Thank you.
Yeah, it does. But I'm curious. So I was sitting on like a mat or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to change position quite often because it's just uncomfortable for like my back and your hips and stuff. And when I sit in a chair, like this is my office chair, it's way more comfortable. would it be better to meditate in an office chair than to sit on the ground and comfort?
Mm. Yeah, very good question. It depends on what you want to achieve. If your posture is interfering too much with your meditation, then change your posture. It is also not bad to change your posture during the meditation, but it mustn't be a torture to get through this physical posture for 20-25 minutes. So then it might be good, as you start training with meditation, to take this office chair. Also, in this office chair, it's hard to sit, like if you want to maybe meditate for an hour, let's say. Then the office chair also starts to be uncomfortable. And then you have this, there's a reason why this meditation posture is used all over the world, because it's a stable basis, the triangle you sit on with your knees and your sitting area in as the three points of this triangle. It's stable and you can stay in it for a long time. So, and if you want to train yourself in it, that's perfect. And you can slowly make this transition to there. And often also this your meditation pillow helps you, because the more lower you sit, then also your back is going to slouch. And this, and something that is supporting you, like this meditation pillow, is supporting your posture as well. So, and then you can work towards it. But I think it mainly depends on what your goal is. And especially if you start meditating, then find a posture and even your office chair, if that's where you sit comfortably for doing the meditation. It shouldn't be a fight against uncomfortableness, physical uncomfortableness. Does that answer it, Tim?
Yeah, I think I might need to get a meditation pillow.
Yeah, could be. Or just like a pillow or a blanket. Start and at first, it depends also how flexible you are in your hips. At first, the higher it is, the more comfortable it is. And then you can lower it. But you can also just use a few pillows. But I like your looking ahead of the future and your...
only after meditation.
Sorry?
Only after the meditation.
Only after the meditation, yeah. Let's see where you are tomorrow. Okay. Are there any questions left? Okay. If you have any questions about meditation or personal questions about your practice, you can always send it to me at roel@meditatie.amsterdam. This is weekly, so if you like this and you want to join, you can join me by sending me an email. I thank you all for coming, for being present, and hopefully till next time.